In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, as we do our prayer today on the events after your resurrection on that first Easter Sunday, and in particular your encounter with the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, we firmly believe that you are here. You rose from the dead. You ascended into heaven, and you are there in heaven in your risen body. And we firmly believe that not only are you there, you are in every tabernacle on earth. You are in our soul in the state of grace, and you accompany us as you did those two disciples. But let us open the Gospel of St. Luke to the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And these women, with all of that love, now prepare the spices and the ointments to go and anoint your body. They couldn't do it on the previous day, on the Saturday, because it was the Sabbath. But now, early on that Sunday morning, filled with sadness but with love, they go to anoint your body properly. And they must have wondered, what will we do to remove that heavy stone? In those days, a tomb like this one belonging to Joseph of Arimathea was sealed by a large, circular, flat stone that ran in a track in front of the opening. And the track went down slightly in each direction towards the middle. Many men would have been needed in order to move that stone back. These women could not have done that. But they're not deterred by that. They have faith. And they go to the tomb. And St. Luke tells us they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they would have wondered, why is the stone removed? We saw it rolled into place on Friday. What has happened? But when they went in, they did not see the body. And now that consternation, that sadness, we've come to anoint the body, but it is not here. Where is it? While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. And those two men are, of course, angels in that dazzling apparel. And the women perhaps knew that because they were frightened. And people thought if they saw an angel or if they saw God, they would die. They were bowing their heads. But these men, the angels, tell them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. And this would have made those good women wonder. He is living? He is risen? How can this be? And the angels go on, remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise? And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told this to the apostles. Those good women. And Lord, let us never forget that on that Good Friday when you died, only one man was recorded as having been present, and that was the young Apostle John. The rest were women, showing us how strong women can be. They didn't fear. The apostles, the rest of them, were in that upper room, perhaps in fear, wondering what was happening. But John, the disciple Jesus loved, filled with love, was there beside the cross. And as he would write later in his first letter, love drives out fear. His love for you, Lord, drove out fear. He was there with these holy women who now come to anoint the body and then to tell the apostles what they have seen, that the tomb is empty, but they have seen these two men saying that Christ is risen. St. Luke goes on, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. And Lord, why would they not believe? These women have come excited, or perhaps at least bewildered, to say they've seen the tomb empty and those angels saying that he is risen. But they did not believe them. And St. Luke continues, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home wondering at what had happened. He too wondered even after seeing the empty tomb. That very day, St. Luke goes on, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And these two disciples now on their way to Emmaus were disheartened totally. Like the apostles, and they were with them in the upper room before, they don't know what has happened, and they are so discouraged that they are now leaving. They couldn't wait to see what would happen later in the day. They had been there when these women came to report that the tomb was empty, but the angels had said that you had risen. And yet they are so discouraged that they leave. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And Lord, you will be there in our life when we are discouraged, when we are disheartened by something, when perhaps we are even suffering from depression and we wonder, where is the solution? You will not abandon us. You care about us too. And you care for one very simple reason. Not only that we are human beings, but that we are members of your mystical body. After all, in baptism, we were incorporated into your body. You are the head. We are the members. How can the head not be concerned about what happens in the rest of the body? Of course you do. Just as our head knows when we have an ache, a pain, a cut that is bleeding, the whole body suffers, and the head especially aware of what has happened. You are the head of this mystical body, and you are there when we suffer. Let us never forget that. Always remind us that you are with us, especially when we suffer. As St. John Paul II wrote in his letter, Salvifici Doloris, on the Christian meaning of suffering, you too entered the world of suffering. You became man. You suffered at our hands. You know what suffering is. And Lord, your suffering throughout your life, and especially in your passion and death, was much more than any of us will ever suffer. You suffered more. You know what suffering is. You are there when we suffer. Help us always to remember that. You are not distant. You are not forgetting us. You are with us as you drew near to these two disciples suffering on the road to Emmaus. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Lord, this is something of your risen body that perhaps we don't understand. But so often, those who knew you so well didn't recognize you. Mary Magdalene, when she went to the tomb, thought you were the gardener. These two disciples on the way to Emmaus didn't recognize you at first. All of the apostles, when they were fishing and they saw you on the shore, and one of them said, "It is the Lord," because the others hadn't recognized you. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And Lord, you are God. You knew what they were talking about. That is why you drew near to them. You wanted to comfort them, to explain why you had to suffer. But you want them to tell you. And so you ask them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Instead of answering your question, he asks you a question, as so often they did. And that question, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Lord, you are the protagonist of these things that have happened. Of course you knew, but these disciples didn't know who you were. And he said to them, "What things?" And again, you want them to tell you. So you ask again, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." And they begin by explaining what has happened in objective terms. Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, has been condemned to death and crucified. They are explaining what happened in the external realm. But now, as you wanted, Lord, and as you want us to tell you and to tell someone else who is guiding us in our spiritual life, how we felt about it. And they go on to explain that. "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And Lord, now they are explaining that they had hoped that you were the one to redeem Israel. And they explain that the women had gone to the tomb and returned, and some of the apostles themselves have gone and returned, but they had not seen you. And they are still so discouraged. And then you begin to explain to them why this needed to happen. St. Luke tells us, "He said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And Lord, now you are explaining all those Old Testament scriptures that referred to you, and there are so many. St. Luke tells us, beginning with Moses, with the Pentateuch, and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Moses, that great prophet of the Old Testament, And he said to the Israelites, there will come after me a prophet. To him you must listen. And Lord, you are that prophet to whom all should listen. And you went through the prophets, and especially the prophet Isaiah, speaking of the suffering servant, and so many passages of those chapters refer to you and are understood so clearly when we look back at what you suffered. And the Psalms, Psalm 21 that you quoted from the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? And they will share out my vestures among them and cast lots for my garment. That Psalm 21 speaks so clearly of you, and so many other psalms do. As Richard of St. Victor says, and these words are recorded in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the whole of Scripture is one book, and its name is Jesus Christ. Lord, the whole Old Testament is about you, preparing the Jews for your coming, preparing for the coming of the Messiah, and now you are here. And so you are walking along on the road to Emmaus, explaining all this to those two disciples. And St. Luke continues, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And Lord, you wanted to stay with them so that they would recognize you, but you made as if to be going further. You wanted to respect their freedom. You could have asked them, could I join you for a bite to eat? But no, you simply made as if we're going to go further, and they begged you, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And Lord, when we have discovered you as we have, when we have the faith in you that we have, we too beg you, stay with us, don't leave us. And Lord, help us to discover you and to get closer to you through our prayer, that we never abandon our prayer, because we know people who used to believe, who perhaps were exemplary Catholics, and now no longer practice their faith. What happened? Perhaps they were fervent in their prayer life, but little by little they lessened it, and then they abandoned it altogether. They went regularly to Mass, and then they went less and less often, and now don't go at all. They went regularly to confession, and now they don't go at all. This can happen to anyone. Lord, we want to stay close to you. Stay with us. But you could say to us, you stay with me. I am here in the sacraments. I am here in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Read about me. I am here listening to you in your prayer. I am always here. And if it seems at times that you don't receive an answer, know that I always hear and I always answer you. And my answer might be not yet or not in the way you want. Or perhaps even, no, that is not my will for you. And Lord, we know that you will always give us what is best. Help us to have the faith to keep on praying, no matter whether we receive the answer we want or not. Stay with us. And we remember that you stayed in the tabernacle. In all those tabernacles of the world, you are there so that we would have ready access to you. And you say, come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. I will give you rest. And Lord, help us to go to you in the tabernacle, especially if we are down. There we find you. There we know that you are close to us, that you always hear and answer us. And St. Luke goes on, so he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And Lord, in the breaking of the bread, which perhaps reminded them of what you did in the Last Supper when you instituted the Eucharist, they finally recognize you. But then, again, to respect their freedom, you vanish from their sight. And that you could do too in your risen, glorified body. Suddenly appear as you did alongside them as they were going to Emmaus, and then suddenly disappear. And now they have to decide what to do. And they are in that position of the prodigal son. He had left his father and brother some time before. He had fallen into sin. He had lost all of his money. He was reduced to feeding swine, that unclean animal that the Jews never ate, let alone cultivated. And now he would like to go back, but he has to consider, what if they don't want me back? It will take humility to go and apologize to my father. But he decides to go and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be taken in as your son, but take me in as a hired servant. And he gets up and goes on his way. And these two disciples at Emmaus have to decide, do we go back? We left a few hours ago. We said we were discouraged, that there was no hope. Can we go back now and tell the others that we have seen Jesus and want to resume our life with the apostles? They would also have thought, it is now dark. It was getting dark when they began that meal. They have had the meal. They have discussed this matter amongst themselves. It is some 7 miles from Jerusalem, some 12 kilometers. More than 2 hours walk, perhaps 2.5 to 3. It is dangerous. There might be robbers. There might be wild animals. But no, they get up immediately and go back to Jerusalem in the dark for those 2 or 3 hours walk when they have already come that same distance. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And Lord, our hearts burn too when we are with you, and help us to stay with you. You stay with us in all those ways that we have considered. And yes, our heart may not always be burning in the sense of feeling your closeness. And the saints didn't always feel your closeness either. They went through that dark night of the soul, that spiritual dryness. And the classical example of this in modern times was Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who for the last 50 years of her life until her death experienced great spiritual dryness, felt that when she was praying, you weren't there, that you were distant. We may not always feel it. Our hearts may not always be burning, but we know you are there. Help us to stay with you, because you are always with us. And then we will have that great joy of being close to you. And so they go that very hour back to Jerusalem. And St. Luke records, and they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And the disciples now are no longer disconsolate, the ones that remained in the upper room. They are overjoyed because Simon Peter has come back saying that he has seen Jesus. And now these two add to that. They too have seen him. recognizing him in the breaking of the bread. And as they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. And of course, when suddenly, Lord, you appear in their midst through that locked door, they would have thought they were seeing a ghost, a spirit, and they were frightened. And perhaps they didn't recognize you either in that moment. They were startled and frightened. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And Lord, you show them the wounds in your hands and your feet. And now you eat before their very eyes, and they realize it is truly you. You have risen as you said, and they are overwhelmed with joy. They disbelieved for joy. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And Lord, now you include the Psalms. "Or everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And they understand when those scriptures have been explained to them. And they didn't write down in any of the inspired biblical texts which readings you referred to on that occasion. Perhaps we wish they had, but tradition has given that abundance of Old Testament readings that refer to you and your passion and death. And when you told them that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, you went on, "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." That you give them that mission to go out and preach your resurrection, which was the core, the central truth of their teaching. And you give us that mission too, because we believe when so many no longer believe or have never believed. And they need us to be apostles today, to be your ambassadors, messengers of the truth, of the good news, messengers of hope, messengers of joy, messengers of faith. You have risen as you said. Lord, help us to be your witnesses. Increase our faith that when we might be down, and sometimes we will be, we come back to these passages that you walk beside us, you are within us, you care. And we go to Our Lady to finish our prayer. Mary, you were there beside the cross, suffering unspeakably, watching your son die for those 3 hours. You were the one, undoubtedly, to whom he appeared first after his resurrection. Mary, help us to be with our Lord on the cross, knowing that he is with us on our cross. And help us, like you, to believe that he will rise again and to bring this good news into the world, into the lives of those around us, that they too may believe. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions affections and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.